Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to be looking at Galatians 3. And in particular, there's two verses that are very interesting. If you would, take out your worship bulletin, turn to the back page. And I'm going to put these on your screen right here. And then ask you guys to read along with me here. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. And so I just wanted you guys to have a way in which to underline this word that I'm going to be talking about just a little bit more. It appears in both verses, this word of guardian. Guardian. Anybody still need a guardian today? Anybody still need someone to watch over them? Yeah, we're, you know, depending on what age you are, either if you're too young or the other way around. Sometimes that is. It's curious, when you open up the scriptures and you read a word and it makes halfway sense to you, and then you actually go and look up what the word means, and this is what I had to do for this one. This word guardian denotes two things. Number one, in the Greek and in Roman times, supposedly, there was this concept that when boys left the house, they would have someone overseeing them. Why only boys? I don't know. What kind of trouble can boys get into? I mean, boys are sweet and innocent, right? But the upper class in these times would have a slave that was elevated higher than most others. And his job, once that kid set foot out of the house, was to shadow that child to make sure that the amount of trouble they got into was lessened to somewhere around zero. And so here we have this concept of the law in our lives, the law, mainly Ten Commandments, mainly the Ten Commandments, overshadowing us and basically going with us wherever we go to make sure we don't get in trouble, okay? And so here is in Jesus' time, Jesus comes to earth, and he's dealing with the Pharisees. The Pharisees have taken these laws and make it their own in which, okay, they are the law police. And Jesus had to confront them and say, guys, you really don't get it at all. You can't fulfill the law. You can't do anything about the law. You cannot follow every single law. Exactly. Anybody follow the laws to the T when you get on getting here? Anybody want to admit that they follow the rules? Interesting, we have sheriff deputies in, and you didn't follow the rules. Okay, small problem when the police of our days don't follow the rules, right? Right? But that's the case in every single part of our lives. On coming here, if the speed limit says 30 miles an hour, what are you supposed to keep your speed under? How many guys? The speedometer never reaches 31. It always goes higher. See, that's the law in our face. The law is saying, how dare you go above that speed limit? That was the posted speed limit. You're not to go above it. It doesn't matter how many people are tailing you. It doesn't matter how many people want to disobey. You're to obey the law, but we can't. And when Jesus looked at the Pharisees and confronted them, he said, there's no way that we can do that on our own. You can't make everybody follow rules that you can't follow. And so we see that Christ comes in this law and gospel parody here, where they're always seeming to be at odds, but they're not necessarily at odds. You see, that these two things, which Lutherans love to talk about, the law versus the gospel. The law simply says you and I cannot be perfect. You and I cannot be perfect. The gospel says there is one that is perfect for us. It's that simple. And so Jesus says, you can't focus on what you can't do. You focus on what I have done for you. And the Pharisees totally missed out on that. Jesus doesn't want us to lose that focus. Our focus is not the law, trying to be perfect, trying to make everybody else be perfect. Because sometimes we can do that as parents. We can try to say, well, you're not doing right. How many times can they look at our lives and say, you're not doing right? Everyone in here has disobeyed the law. Everyone in here deserves death. But here is the good news that Jesus was bringing us in this verse. You are no longer under the law. You are under grace. You are under what God has done for you. So no longer are we trying to think, okay, what do I have to do? What do I have to do? Jesus says, come unto me. Come unto me. That faith in Jesus Christ and what he has done for you, this is a saving work of Jesus Christ. You are no longer under a law you cannot fulfill, that you can't keep. Christ beckons you with his love, not strict obedience. And so you are allowed to live out that faith now, that faith that comes from his ultimate love. Okay, what has Christ done for me? What can I do for him today? Because what he has done for me has made my life so full that I can now say, okay, if Christ has done this, this is what Christ can do for me, then that's what I can do for him. I can seek out new ways in which to share my faith with others. And this is what Paul meant in Galatians. It was all about faith in Christ alone. And so this morning, as we start the new year, I doubt many of you are going to stay within the speed limit. But I hope that reminds you that you can't stay within the law. You must stay under grace. You must stay on what Christ has done for you, we pray. Lord Jesus, on this new day of this new year, Lord God, it's easy to get caught up in goals and in different things that we want to do new for this year. Lord God, help us understand that the one thing that we really need to get right, Lord, is this idea that, Lord God, you have done everything for us. You have paid our penalty. You have taken away the sting of death. Help us live new lives, both today and each every day from this time forth. Lord God, we may not be fearful of the recourse of the law, but Lord God, we may live out a faith that is reckless in you, that we may be able to share with others. Lord God, we are not fearful that we have done wrong. We are fearful of you, but fearful in the mindset that you have taken away the guilt, the shame. You put that on you when you went to the cross for us and said, Father, forgive us for what we do. So we thank you that the gospel is the main thing in our lives. In your son's name we pray. Amen.